Hi, I'm Daniel Lenzian, host of Western New York Soundstage from Buffalo Rising and Local Matters Studios. Western New York Soundstage is a podcast that looks to explore Western New York's creative economy through a series of conversations with artists, musicians, producers, directors, and authors from Western New York and beyond. Today, I speak with Drew Fornarola, the artistic director of Starring Buffalo, and Michelle Ragusa, Broadway performer, and the titular character in Starring Buffalo's upcoming production of Hello, Dolly. Now, if you have never seen Hello, Dolly, it is musical theater gold, tuneful, funny, heartfelt, and so entertaining. It is a show that you can see again and again and feel enlivened and refreshed. Starring Buffalo was founded in December 2017 to connect, entertain, teach, and thrill, and above all, to provide top-quality musical theater. Drew Fornarola, the artistic director, was inspired by New York City's City Center Encores series, which offers short-run, unstaged versions of musicals starring superb Broadway performers. In addition to bringing in New York City-based professionals, Starring Buffalo is collaborating with local talent to create a community chorus for their shows to ensure that performers based in Buffalo have the opportunity to collaborate with top-tier Broadway talent. Their upcoming production of Hello, Dolly! Will be presented on June 2nd and 3rd at Shays 710 Theater. Tickets and information are available at starringbuffalo.org. And if you're listening to this episode after June 3rd, 2023, check out starringbuffalo.org for the organization's upcoming offerings. Okay, without further ado, we speak with Drew Fornarola, Artistic Director of Starring Buffalo. Drew, it is so great to talk to you today. Thank you so much for being on the podcast.
Thanks for having me.
Excellent. You are the Artistic Director of Starring Buffalo. How might you describe that position to someone outside of the theater?
I guess, well, we all work together as a team. It's a small company, like a lot of new theater companies. But my area, the area I'm responsible for, is really anything that gets put on the stage. So the shows, making the shows, is what I do for our theater company. But we all pitch in everything, as is common with a new group.
You wear many hats. You're a playwright, a producer, an artistic director, and a lawyer. How do all of these different career paths inform each other?
I think of myself as a writer first. So I'm a playwright and musical theater writer, and everything else I do is in service to or related to that path. My education is largely in something different. I went to law school and studied political science, but I think that's all served me as a writer and all served me as an artist. It helps me to have things to write about.
Can you tell us a little bit about your work as a playwright?
Sure. Like many artists, I've had to follow where the opportunities are. So I started in musical theater. That's what I wanted to do as a kid, was write Broadway musicals. When all of my friends were pretending to be Aladdin, I was pretending to be Alan Menken, who wrote the songs for Aladdin, probably the only 5 or 6 year old pretending he was conducting that CD in his room. But that's what I was doing. I came to New York as a songwriter. I've written musicals. I ended up getting a job early on writing for children, which was it brought me back to sort of the Disney roots, and I wrote for DreamWorks for several years. And then I had an opportunity to write a play that was off Broadway. So a little bit of musical theater, some plays, some film. It's been a really fun journey so far.
This is a difficult question to ask a writer, but I'm going to do it and kind of venture out there. If there's one piece that you've created, composed, or written that you feel like really exemplifies your work, if you can think of it, what would it be?
I think the answer for me is usually the next one, which is the case now. We're preparing for a production in Phoenix of a musical I've been working on for many years called Tiananmen, about the Tiananmen Square protests in 1989. That opens at the Phoenix Theater Company in October, directed by Darren Lee, great Broadway actor and choreographer. And we'll be announcing casting soon for that. But that's the next one. It's a big old-fashioned rock musical. Also done a lot of more intimate plays. So the style runs the gamut. But I think the one closest to my heart right now is this one coming out in the fall.
You are Buffalo-based. Did you grow up here? And you sort of mentioned moving to New York for a while. What made you come back?
I did. I went to high school in Buffalo. I went to Williamsville East, and then I went away to college and to New York after that. Kind of splitting my time 50-50 since the pandemic. I was living alone in a studio early in COVID, and it was a crazy time to be in Manhattan. So I came back up to Buffalo, and now I'm about half and half. I'm in New York City right now, but I'll be back for Hello Dolly shortly. Next week we go into rehearsal with the main cast.
What is the best part of spending time in Buffalo?
It's been really exciting getting to know the theater community in Buffalo and having the opportunity to create work regularly. I think the chance to do more than one show a year is pretty cool and possible in a city and a theater community the size of Buffalo, where in New York, it takes a couple years or more to get the money and the people together to do anything. So you can do a lot of small things. You can do readings and cabarets, and that ecosystem is what makes New York so exciting. But the actual chance to put work on a stage more than once every few years is a really exciting thing about Buffalo.
You mentioned conducting sort of the score to The Little Mermaid when you were young. Is there another story from your youth that has informed your artistic or producing career?
I was always kind of doing this in the basement and with my friends, and we did a play that my parents talk about when I was about 9, and my cast was mostly 6 or 7. I wrangled the neighborhood kids and we put it on. And as the story goes, the show is incredibly long, which I have tried to learn as an adult that the audience's time is precious, and any time they're spending with us, I try to make the most of. But most of my cast at that time couldn't read, so I'm not exactly sure how I pulled that off. But this has been an interest forever, and I feel lucky to be able to continue to do it.
For those that may not know, what is Starring Buffalo?
Starring Buffalo is a theater company that several Buffalo expats, several Buffalonians who ended up in New York, founded together at the end of 2018. We produce City Center Encore style. This is a theater in New York City. Encore style concerts of musicals. So this is where you sing all the songs, you perform all the dialogue, there's a little bit of movement, but mostly it's in a concert style. And we do this combining three groups of people. So this is visiting artists from the Broadway community, professional artists from the Buffalo community, and then amateur singers, either high school choruses or, in the case of some of our shows, the community chorus, which is an auditioned group of people from all walks of life. So Broadway professionals, Buffalo professionals, and then outstanding Western New York amateur singers as well. So we gather the forces. It's usually about 50, 60 voices on stage and can create something really unique.
Where did the idea for this generate from? Were you just sort of walking down the street and the muses spoke to you, or what was sort of the impetus to kind of say, we have to do this in Buffalo?
I'm an idea person. I have crazy, impractical, implausible ideas every day. And it takes someone to sort of slow me down and say, actually, that one's good. Let's do that one. And I was having dinner with my high school and college friend, longtime friend, Laura Brody. And we were talking about Buffalo and Buffalo Theater. And I pitched this sort of idea of producing a concert there. And she said, let's do that. I would be down to try one of those. And one led to two, led to now in our fourth season. So Laura is my co-founder, along with Stephen Tardick, who does marketing for Broadway shows. The three of us went to high school together. I'm doing artistic, Laura's doing business, and Stephen's on marketing. So that's our team. And Michael Russo, who's our executive director, is an educator in Western New York.
Wow. I'm sure that kind of seeing the concert version of these plays really unlocks something about them. What do you think the benefit is of presenting this sort of concert style of these kind of amazingly well-known shows for Buffalo audiences is?
Yeah, I think we can really focus on the singing and the story. Everybody loves a full production, and everybody loves sets and costumes, and so do I. But I think because our various groups of artists come together for such a short time, and this is only possible because we can do this in a short time for the Broadway artists, for Tony Award winners, or people in Broadway shows, they can take a week off, they can come to Buffalo, they can do a dream role. We can really focus on the words and music and create something. Matt Doyle, who won a Tony Award for Company, came up and did our little Shop of Horrors. We're able to offer Matt Doyle as the leading man in a musical in Buffalo for less than $50. You know, you'd pay upwards of $150, $200 to see him in his current show. He's actually currently doing Little Shop now at the West Side Theater here in New York. So quick, pretty focused on the story, and we can do it affordably. So those are some of the benefits of a concert style musical.
Why is it important to you to connect local talent with Broadway stars?
This was just something that, as I was dipping my toe back into the Buffalo theater community and realizing how talented the folks are in our community, I wanted to create some kind of exchange where we brought some people from New York into Buffalo to share ideas, but also that the New Yorkers got to interact with and learn from the Buffalo folks. And we've had several Western New York actors, after their starring Buffalo experiences, go on to book national tours or book shows in New York, and also come back to Buffalo and continue to perform. So I think demystifying that pipeline, which was something that I was able to negotiate working in both cities, I think is something that's important to us. People get agents, people get contacts from working with each other. I saw Emily Padgett Young at a party last night. She came up and did Dot in our Sunday in the Park. And she said, when are you having us back to Buffalo? We have some ideas. We have shows we want to do. So I'm hoping the pipeline goes both ways.
That's fantastic. Your board is comprised of business owners, financial advisors, and educators. Why was this diversity important to your board? A lot of times I think sort of boards for nonprofits have mostly financial sort of advisors or a lot of lawyers or things like that. But it seems like it's really important for you to bring in local teachers. Why is that important?
Well, you know, I think Laura and I both, first of all, have a real fondness for educators and music education. And what we do with our students is such a big part of what we do. Teachers also get stuff done. You know, teachers are incredibly resourceful and productive. And when you're in the trenches and putting on a show, that's a great group to have in your corner. So we're lucky to have the excellent educators we do on our board, and they contribute so much to our organization.
What was the idea behind incorporating the community chorus? Who's it comprised of, and what do you hope that they take from this process?
Like many things in the arts, the community chorus arose out of necessity. After the pandemic, because of the rules surrounding Actors Equity Association, the Actors Union, the union that represents the Broadway actors, we had to have a fully vaccinated company of artists. And we can't require that students in a public school be vaccinated. So at that time, we couldn't use a high school choir like we had done in the past. We had this notion, why don't we open it up to the community and audition? And that's been an incredibly joyful experience. We get a lot of top-notch musicians that, you know, their lives have taken them away from performing into other fields. But this is a small enough commitment and a cool enough opportunity that a lot of these people that want to have an outlet for art in their lives are able to perform with us and able to have this experience of performing with Broadway and Buffalo's best.
Your next production is Hello, Dolly. Why did you choose this title? What about it speaks to you now? And what do you think will speak to the Buffalo community now?
Yeah, I mean, we're still introducing ourselves to the community. People are still getting to know us and what we do. And I think something that's important to us artistically is sort of showing the breadth of the kinds of shows that we can do. So we've had a little bit of everything. We've had comedy, we've had rock, we've had contemporary, we've had Sondheim. We haven't done Golden Age yet, so it was time. I love Jerry Herman. I love the story. And this is a style of music, sort of Golden Age Broadway, that we haven't had represented in our company yet. And I think it's going to be a real treat for theatergoers.
What is the band or the orchestra on stage for Hello, Dolly?
We have the 9-piece orchestration, which I believe was one of the recent national tour orchestrations. It's mostly brass and a rhythm section, very different from the pit we just had for Evita, which was largely electronic instruments, very different from the pit we had for Sunday in the Park, which was largely wind. We had a harp for Sunday. So it's different every time. And we're using the local union musicians who play the Shays shows and all of that. We have really top-notch, wonderful people.
I feel like Hello, Dolly is one of the shows that I think theater people or even kind of non-theater people can get really excited about. And they all have such a love about the show. I've never necessarily met anyone that says, oh, I don't like Hello, Dolly. Most people love it. I really love it. And I'm really excited about the production. What are you most excited about in directing Dolly?
I'm excited to offer this story to our audience. I think we've had feedback that people are looking for musicals from this era. they're in full production, expensive and difficult to mount, so you don't get to see them locally as much as some people wish. There are some companies doing a great job in the space, but Dolly is something that hasn't been seen locally in a while. It's a beloved story, and we have some wonderful people, both from the Buffalo and Broadway communities, ready to roll on it. So very excited for people to see this cast and for people to hear this Jerry Herman score.
For listeners, we'll speak to her later in this episode, but who is playing Dolly?
Her name is Michelle Ragusa. She's a many-time Broadway actress, and she has Buffalo roots. She went to Niagara University. So we're very excited to bring Michelle back to Western New York and to hear her in this role.
Fantastic. I mentioned earlier that Starring Buffalo is a nonprofit organization. Listeners sometimes think that nonprofit organizations can exist on ticket sales alone, but this is not the case. Why is it important to support organizations like Starring Buffalo, and how can listeners support this organization?
Oh, thank you for the question. It is true that we wish we could fund our programming 100% through ticket sales, but the way that theater works, this is very uncommon. Though the primary way you can support us is by coming to the show, June 2nd and 3rd at Shays 710, tickets at starringbuffalo.org. But if you believe in our mission and want to make an additional donation to the company, or you know of a company that might want to partner with our company, this is another way that nonprofits work, is by trading tickets for certain services or participation. You know, please do get involved. We are, I think, filling a niche in the Buffalo arts community. We're doing something unique, and I think we're benefiting both the amateur and professional artistic communities in Buffalo. So I hope you'll come check us out and consider getting involved.
Fantastic. I just have two final questions. This one is, what is your future vision for Starring Buffalo? Where do you hope the company is in 5 years or 10 years? How can we sort of entice listeners to maybe support the organization with a future vision?
Yeah, thanks for the question. I think we're starting to hit our rhythm in terms of producing these two concerts per year, these two big concert musicals a year. This year was Evita and Dolly. Next year, we'll be announcing our two shows as well, usually a fall and a spring. That's going to continue to be the core of our programming. We're going to continue to have a presence at Curtain Up. We usually bring a Broadway actor to perform alongside a Buffalo actor at the Bittersweet Lounge. That'll go on sale soon. And beyond that, I'm interested artistically in how this model can be expanded to other art forms. So I'm interested, can we do a similar thing where we have guest artists, and local student artists in jazz or dance or drama, other kinds of performing arts? I think that's what the future holds. I think we'll continue with the core programming of two concert musicals a year, but also see what can we do in visual art? Where can we apply this collaboration among these groups?
Starring Buffalo has had a number of seasons and produced a number of shows, but I'm interested to know, what are you most proud of?
I think I'm most proud of the friendships that have formed among the New York and Buffalo professional communities. When I see those folks continue to interact online or continue to overlap in shows together, I think that's really special. And I think this community chorus group has been really exciting way to fill a need for people that have professional level talent, but whose careers and lives have taken them maybe away from the arts to give them a chance to perform at a really high level.
The theater director, Ann Bogart, kind of theorizes that plays and sort of relationships on stage are read in two ways. People read sort of the characters interacting, but then also underneath that, they read kind of like the ensemble spirit. And it sounds like there is a real effort, which is really exciting, to create a real ensemble dynamic within Starring Buffalo, which I'm sure will be palpably felt in the upcoming production of Hello, Dolly. So I'm so excited that you said that, and I'm excited to see it. Drew, those are my questions, but I always like to end every interview by asking, do you feel like there's anything left unsaid or anything that you would like to share with our listeners?
Well, I really appreciate your time and for taking time to highlight Western New York arts. I think this is an incredibly important endeavor that you guys have over there. And I really appreciate you having me on. I hope people will come out and support the shows. This is the most important thing, is come out to the show if you can. And thank you to everyone for listening.
Fantastic. Drew, thanks so much for chatting today. And we will see you at Hello, Dolly. Next up, we speak with Michelle Ragusa, star of Hello, Dolly. All right. Fantastic. Michelle, how are you today?
I'm wonderful. Daniel, how are you doing?
I'm wonderful. Thank you so much for chatting with me.
My pleasure.
So I understand that you have roots in Buffalo. Is that correct?
I do. My parents moved to Buffalo from New York, and my dad was from Buffalo, which is how we ended up there. I think I was two or three. So really, I mean, I guess I can't say born and raised, but raised most surely. Yeah. And it has always held such a huge part in my heart.
Fantastic. So you're coming back. Is there anything you hope to visit or experience while you're here?
Well, you know, it's going to be so fast and furious, to be honest with you. I'm currently speaking to you from Hilton Head. I'm doing a production company, and I fly back to my home on the 28th, and then I get on a plane on the 29th to come to Buffalo. And, you know, our rehearsals, I think, are mostly in the evening. So any potential dinner plans, of course, will not happen. I'm just going to behave myself, which is probably a good idea considering the size of the role. But yeah, I was just in Buffalo, a couple of months ago, I think, actually. I was just there. I try to get back home a couple of times at least a year.
That's fantastic. Is this your first time working in Buffalo as an actress, or have you been here before?
No, I believe it or not, I got my equity card at Studio Arena. Let's say, you know, the old stomping grounds here. So it's going to be really cool to be back inside the building. But I got my equity card doing a play called Men Should Weep. I was working, with the young company. It's hilarious. I was working with a young company at that time. So I was teaching at the theater school, Studio Arena, and we would perform things as well, kind of like a little sort of touring situation, I guess you would call it, you know, put the set in a van and go somewhere. And I lucked out. David Frank cast me. I got my equity card and moved to New York. And then I came back. I did Noises Off, and then I did Bad Dates, all at Studio Arena. The crazy thing is I have never performed at Shays. Anytime I was touring, I managed to somehow leave the tour before it ever went to Buffalo. So I have never played Shays.
Wow. I'm interested to know, like, sort of that early career and early life that was happening in Buffalo. Is there a story you could share with us from your early career when you knew a life in the arts was going to be a possibility for you?
Well, you know, I think the way that it's best for me to phrase it is, you know, I went to Holy Angels Academy and I plucked up the courage and auditioned for musical. And so I did, you know, I did the shows all 4 years and, you know, kind of interestingly, the roles got bigger and bigger over the 4 years, which was great. But then I went to ECC. I was basically going to be a secretary. I just didn't really know what I wanted to do. So I thought, oh, okay, I could type and do shorthand. So I'll do that. And then I was walking through the campus one day and I happened to see a notice on the wall to audition for a production of Godspell. And I thought, they do musicals at ECC? Huh, interesting. So anyway, I got cast and ended up having a relationship with this company, the heads of the company. One of them is still in my life. One of the other gentlemen, unfortunately, is no longer with us. But Jack Saviola was the director and we ended up doing Pippin and Grease and Plaza Suite. You know, we did a bunch of shows together. And of course, you know, I was having so much fun. I let like a number of my classes fall by the wayside because I didn't want to admit it to myself, but you know, that's what I was enjoying. So they kept saying to me, you know, you're really good. You should go to school for this. And I thought, oh, right. Cause I'm going to be an actor. Like who does that? You know, no. But it kept happening and happening. And so finally, I agreed to go up to Niagara University and meet the head of the department. I just go basically to shut everybody up, just like, fine, I'll go up there. And I went up and met the head of the department, Brother Augustine. And when he took me into the theater, I had one of those, as Oprah says, the aha moment. And I knew this was exactly where I needed to be. And because I'm a Leo Sicilian only child, of course, I think I had 4 credits left to get an associate's degree and I left because it couldn't happen fast enough for me. So anyway, so that's how I got my BFA. So yeah, went up to Niagara and credits transferred. So I was done in 3 years and off I went.
Well, that's incredible. And your resume is incredible. You've done some of the most sort of theatrical juggernaut shows. No, I had a ball looking kind of at the resume on your website because you've done MAME and Ragtime and Thoroughly Modern Millie. And you've done some really interesting left of center pieces like Flying Over Sunset. Most recently, The Butcher Boy, which we could sort of talk about for hours, but won't today. And You're in Town. And even Senex in Forum. And I love that you put really, Senex is traditionally a male character in the play Funny Thing Happened Away to the Forum. So yes. I'm interested to know, with all of this variety and the incredible breadth of work that you've had, what attracts you to a particular role or show?
Well, you know, obviously Broadway speaks for itself. James Lapine speaks for himself. It's a no-brainer on that. I mean, basically anything in New York, easy. Yes, you know, you'd say yes. At this point, though, because I've been doing it 30 plus years, now it really has to be a role I would like to play or do again, a specific theater, a specific director. I mean, that's kind of where I'm at now. I have a very short list left of things that I want to do because, as you said, it's like I've played them all. You know, I was very fortunate that I came into the business basically as an ingenue. I didn't know how to belt. I was just a very high soprano. So when I got to New York, of course, that's when I did the tour of West Side Story and Carousel and My Fair Lady and, you know, all of those wonderful roles. And lucky for me, as I got older, I did learn to belt. Comedy has always been a part of me, but I really was able to bring it to the fore because, you know, as you get older, you know, you're a character woman. So, you know, you belt and you're funny. Yeah, that's it. There are still some of those roles though, like Light in the Piazza, Little Night Music, you know, which are still beautiful lyric pieces. And, you know, those are definitely on my list. But I think that that's definitely kind of how I find myself, luckily, because not everybody is in this position. I'm very fortunate. My husband, who is my entire heart, has a really great job. So I got really fortunate with that. So, you know, I can actually relax a little bit. I don't really know how to do it. I'm still trying to learn. This is new, you know, how to not just say yes to everything and have to leave town. I can actually stay home if I want to. So, yeah, so that's where that is.
Well, we are so lucky you're coming here to us to do Hello, Dolly. With all of these different shows, they require different skill sets and offer different challenges. How do you maintain a career in the arts?
Well, you know, obviously you need to be as prepared as possible. You need to have as full a toolkit as you can possibly get. Know your strengths, know your weaknesses. If you want to strengthen the weaknesses, great. You know, for me, I was, for so many reasons, never really going to be a dancer. You know, and I respect dancers so much because that's not really in my toolbox. You know, I'm one of those movers. But I think the more that you can do, the more you are going to have an opportunity to be hired. During the pandemic, I taught voice for Ohio University virtually from my dining room. And that's what I would say to my girls, because I remember having one girl who is actually kind of still in my life, which is cool. She insisted on staying in one lane. And I said, well, I don't know, is that's a really good idea. I can't really support that 100%. She goes, well, this is what I want to do. I want to do Fun Home, and I want to do, these are the roles I want to do. And I said, okay. I said, but let me just put this out there, because I actually had given her the diva song from the Yestin Phantom, because I thought she's got those notes because I heard them. And why not step in these shoes? How fun. And ooh, she was not happy. And I said, so let me just ask you this. If you go to a general audition for a theater season, what if somebody looks at you and goes, you know, she could be an interesting Nellie Forbush. Or, you know, she could maybe play this role in Phantom. I didn't actually think of that before. Are you going to tell them no? Are you unprepared? Because nobody wants to be unprepared. You don't want to have somebody ask you, you're like, no, I don't sing like that. Or, you know, I can't hit that note, or I can't, you know, I mean, listen, you strengthen yourself as much as you can. If you're not a really high soprano, of course, that's fine. Then you say, this is actually where I'm more suited, where I live. So I think it's best to know yourself very well. And then as you start to work, obviously you build up your resume, you've got credits, you work at theaters, you work with directors. So, you know, you kind of keep filling up that pool with creatives, and then hopefully, you know, you have good relationships and experiences with them, and they will invite you to do other things, which is amazing when it happens.
No, it truly is. So let's talk about Hello, Dolly. Is this your first time in the role?
No, I think it was 2016. I have such a hard time remembering with after the pandemic, right? I think it was 2016. I got very fortunate because a director who I'd worked with a number of times just offered me the part. I mean, that's so rare. You know, it's called offer only. It's so rare. But he just reached out and said, I'm going to be doing this production of Dolly. I think you would be absolutely amazing. And I said, sure. And then the next year, same director, we did Maine. And then I'm one of these people, somebody told me I have the trifecta. And he said, I think there's only three women in history who've played Dolly, Mame, and Rose. And I've tried to Google it and I can't find anything out about it. But it's so interesting when you think about the women, you're like, oh, what about, oh no, she didn't play that one. Oh, what about, oh no, she didn't do that role. So I consider myself very, very lucky that I've been able to do that. And I really enjoy Dolly. I really enjoy it. You know, I really don't know what to expect, obviously, with, you know, the stage concert, how much staging we're going to be doing. I've been reading my script and going over my score since I've been down here in Hilton Head, just getting re-familiarized with the material. Because, you know, the more you can keep your face out of the book, the better, I think.
Well, Dolly and Rose and Mame, they are kind of, and please forgive this expression, but kind of like the Hamlets of the sort of musical theater canon roles. They're so huge. Everybody puts their stamp on them. You can answer either one of these questions. I'm just interested to know, where do you find your Dolly, or what do you hope to bring to the role?
Well, initially, I was having a hard time kind of centering in on her. You know, we were doing I Put My Hand In, you know, the whole opening and all that. And I sat down, I had a nice long talk with the director, who, lucky for me, was very insightful, very intelligent, very open to anything that I wanted to play with. And all of a sudden, I just kind of looked at him. I said, well, wait, is it like a truthful Harold Hill? Is it kind of like, is that sort of what this number's about? Because I don't know. It just wasn't feeling like I was smack in the center. And for some reason, for me, it all kind of made sense at that point. And I think it's so interesting that the audience finds out very early on what the plan is, what the end of the show is going to be. And then they get to watch everything unfold and watch how she maneuvers and steers and gets everything cooking and going just the way she wants to. And I will say, as an actor, it is difficult because you have to be steps ahead. You have to be ahead of everybody. So your dialogue is driving everything. So it's not someone saying something to you, you know, you respond. Many times her dialogue is the driving. So that is definitely a challenge in this role. I find her so delightful and so funny. I try to bring as much comedy as I can. And I love the moments where she's talking to her husband, to Ephraim. You know, it's so heartfelt and just beautiful. And it's a woman in that turn of the century, you know, it's being a widow who's tough. And that's why she says, I'm tired. She hands out all these business cards all the time to try to keep things going, you know, and having money coming in, but she's tired.
That's beautiful. You know, every time you see one of those sort of huge kind of roles like that, you can revisit a show. If you've seen Dolly before, you've not seen this Dolly, because it's a completely different stamp, a completely different vibe, and you'll be bringing something completely new to it. But I love that you said it's sort of like an honest Harold Hill. That's the funnest description I've ever heard of that. Starring Buffalo is a fast process and a fast week of shows in a concert style. What attracted you to the project, and, you know, why come to Buffalo for such a short amount of time?
Well, when I first heard about Starring Buffalo, I remember this, it popped up, I think, in my social media feed. And I was like, wait, what? I hadn't heard that it existed. And I went to the site and I found Drew's name. And I just reached out to him and introduced myself and said, you know, I don't know if you find yourself in New York, maybe we can have coffee or a cocktail or something. I would love to talk to you. And I had some interesting ideas that I presented to him. When I'm there, I'm going to see if I can introduce them again, because I think I'm going to hold that as a secret, because if it were to happen, it would be the coolest thing ever. But basically, you know, when you do symphony work, you know, I've done shows with the Buffalo Philharmonic. You know, we did Music Man, we did Funny Girl. I talked them into doing these staged versions. And to their credit, they said yes, jumped on board. And it was a glorious experience. So I enjoy these things, because it actually, having the book in front of you as an actor, it takes a lot of pressure off, believe it or not, because you got it. All you have to do is look down. You can't remember, it's right there. And, you know, as I mentioned before, just any chance to come home. Yes. You know,
that's great.
It's all a yes.
So being a Buffalonian, why is an organization like Starring Buffalo important to the city of Buffalo and to the arts community in Buffalo?
I've always been so impressed with the art scene in Buffalo. I really have. The fact that there's so many theaters and so much really delicious work being done in town. And I think that one of the things that's kind of cool about Starring Buffalo is the artists that do come in from New York, Drew, tends to bring in people, you know, that have a certain deal of experience. And I think it's really wonderful for the local actors to get to spend time with these artists from New York City and to observe, even though it's a fast process, I think it's always interesting to see how an actor semantically deals with a director, how you have conversations. I mean, because that is actually a very important part of the business, is that you learn how to speak and be heard and to not always push back and be flexible and open. And I think a lot of actors don't know that, you know, they don't teach that in school. And it takes a minute. It takes a minute to get those semantics in that don't seem like you're being a diva or to seem like, you know, you're not going to do this, you're not going to do that. So I think that it can be a really cool learning experience for younger talent as well.
Sometimes when I talk to my students, I mention kind of the idea of, and I'm going to use an old term here and then I'll kind of rephrase it, but sort of like the leading lady or the leading man or the leading person of a company has a specific responsibility because they set the tone of the rehearsal room and the show in a way that a director or a producer or anyone else can. Would you mind, absolutely, or may I press you to sort of speak on what it's like to kind of hold that level of responsibility in a room?
I believe, you know, it's that old saying, right? The fish rots from the head. It is incredibly important to have a level of, you know, professionalism, a level of unself-consciousness, a level of humility. You know, a lot of times people will have an idea of you before you get there. You know, if you've got like tons of Broadway shows or like whatever, it's like, oh, I bet this person's going to be like scary or tough. And I would hope people aren't. I know I'm not, but I think it's good for actors to see, you know, we're all human. We all put on our pants one leg at a time. And it's also very important, I think, to have a very safe atmosphere. I think rehearsal rooms must be safe. I have been in situations where they weren't. And that's not good for anybody because you have to be allowed to fail. You have to be safe to fail because if you're not free to try things and it works or it doesn't, you know, if that freedom is not there, it's so constricting, I think, artistically.
It's a miracle having a life in the arts. And in some ways, sort of, we are truly welcoming you back to the Harmonia Gardens, back along. Thinking back to the kid at Niagara University, that was you. What advice might you give them?
I would try to filter in some of the experience I have now that I could have said to my young self, because when I got to New York, I was so driven. I was so hungry. You know, if I didn't get cast, I would get angry and I would be jealous. And all of those, you know, those horrible things that are human, of course they're human, but to be able to just trust in the universe, just trust that everything is happening the way it's supposed to, you know, when you have hindsight, you know, after the fact, you go, oh, geez, that job I really wanted. Well, if I'd gotten that job, I wouldn't have been available for this experience, or I wouldn't have been in town to meet your spouse. I really do put a lot of faith in that. And it works for me. I mean, everybody is different. But I think that probably would have been my first thing that I would have said, is to, you know, try to just go with the flow. And maybe if I don't believe in what ifs and all that. It probably would have been interesting if I'd learned to belt when I was younger. But like I said, everything's happened the way it's supposed to. So it's okay. I mean, I don't know how different my career would have been. Who knows?
Michelle, thank you so much for your time. You are so kind of generous in talking with us and sharing so much with us. Before I end the interview, I always like to ask the people that I'm interviewing, is there anything that you feel has been left unsaid or anything that you'd like to share with our audiences?
Gosh, I don't think so. Your questions were wonderful and very insightful. I think we said it all.
No, I'd like to ask, you know, I personally can't wait to see you in Hello, Dolly. I think it's going to be an incredible experience. I can't wait for our listeners to go see Hello, Dolly and continue to support the mission of Starring Buffalo. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you, Daniel.
Well, that's our show for today. It was great to talk about theater, community, and artistry with Drew and Michelle. They were so generous with their time and answers, and I hope that after hearing Michelle talk, you are as excited about her performance in Hello, Dolly as I am. Thanks from Western New York Soundstage and Buffalo Rising. Today's show is produced by Jessica Marinelli. Addison Schoonmaker engineered this episode. Make sure you subscribe to the show. If you like the show, please recommend it to a friend. In addition to this podcast, you can check out our local events guides posted bi-monthly on buffalorising.com. We'll be back soon with more episodes where we will explore our local creative economy through a series of conversations with artists, musicians, producers, directors, and authors from Western New York and beyond. Thanks for listening to Western New York Soundstage from Buffalo Rising Local Matters Studios.